pure and holy, God and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living, will you? Sanctuary before you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. That's your desire? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, I was going on to something else, but I decided this morning maybe we need to do a little review and comments about the token, so we'll just do that, and then we'll continue on our thoughts maybe this afternoon. So we'll just pray that the Lord would bless. So if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Exodus 12. And we'll read 12, verse 12 and 13. I sure do appreciate everybody and all of the works and the doings and everything. Yesterday at our 50th wedding anniversary, we had a good time, had a good turnout, and all. And we appreciate everybody, all of the family, all the kids, all the grandkids, and the great-grandchild, and then all the adopted kids for putting on the thing and working and doing and all. And all of you that work, too, that don't count yourself maybe as our adopted children, but I figure you all are anyway. But and we just appreciate you working and doing and all the things and all of the gifts and everything, and the family truly appreciates you that came to help, and all, you know, the ones that were there helping with it. We really appreciate it. It was a great time. Had a good time and all that, being together. And just remember, the fellowship meeting now will be at Brother Longoria's this coming Saturday. If you want to go, make sure you're at Wade's house or at my house. Don't go to Wade's house because he's going to be gone. So make sure you won't be gone. He'd be doing a wedding and doing their school thing. So just come to our house by 10:30 now. Don't make it 15 to 11. Because if you do, we're going to be gone. At 10:30, be at the house and everything and ready to go. And we'll run over to Alabama for the fellowship meeting and everything. We're doing that. All right. Also, the Lord willing, Wade will be speaking Wednesday for us. So remember that point. Now, two, the Brother Richard Wilson and them, you know, they've got a new church, and they're going to have their dedication August the 29th, 30th, 31st. All right, that will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, okay? Friday night, I'm pretty sure it will be 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I didn't ask Brother Richard, but 6 o'clock on Saturday. Okay, that would be good. 7 on Friday, 6 on Saturday, and then a regular 10 o'clock Sunday morning service, and all for the dedication time. And there will not be an afternoon service because they're going to have a dinner for everybody that comes and all like that. So just, you know, make your plans now. Also now, the waiting in, we'll probably be going on up early because we're going to try to get there early because Brother Tim Humes is going to do the Friday night service, and then I'm going to try to talk Brother Richard into letting Wade do the Saturday night service, and then I'll do the dedication, you know, if we can. But whatever that will be. But now they will be leaving Wade's house 9 o'clock Saturday morning. All right? If you want to come and go along, do that. And they'll be glad to carry you, and they'll carry the van, both vans, and all to make a load out of it, of each one. So just come and but you got to let them know. All right? Now listen. You got to get your own motel. It's not going to be left up to anybody to get you a motel room. You make sure you get your own motel for the time and all, and just be that, and make sure you're there to be leaving at 9 o'clock from Wade's house on Saturday, and we'll be glad to haul you gas like it is, be glad to take care of that and carry you up and back and everything, but you just make sure you get your own motel room and things.
If you go in a van, we'll come back Sunday afternoon.
Right. Be coming back after the dinner on Sunday, so that should put us, in other words, we leave there by 2, 3, we're still going to be home by 6 or 8 o'clock Sunday afternoon, no later, because it's only 3.5 hours at the most of a drive. So, if you want to ride along, be glad to do that, be glad to have you and everything to fellowship together. I think that's about all announcements. Okay. Exodus 12. Father, we thank you for all things, and we pray that you would just come now unto us in your loving grace and speak to our hearts, because we feel that we need to maybe review a little bit and maybe make a few comments this morning to make sure everybody understands what we're saying, not to whether or not they believe it, but to make sure they understand what I'm trying to say, because that's what I want it to be, and then that way I can depend upon you. And forgive me, Lord, of my failures, most of all for slothfulness of studying and praying and things and dedicating my life to you. But, Father, just you come on the scene now and you work through us. And Lord, just bless each and every one. Have your way with us now. Forgive our sins and lead us in your loving grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yeah, this afternoon at the end of the evening service, we'll be having a baby dedication. And we appreciate all of you coming. When you come one time to be with us, you're counted a visitor. You come two times, you're just part of us. So we're not counting anybody visitors this morning, because Jeff and them, they've been here enough, and his wife, she's been here before, so we just appreciate everybody. But all right, let's go to Exodus 12. Right. There will be a service here now while we're in Tennessee. So don't worry about it. Brother Richard Douglas, the brother that just preached the other weekend for us, he will be preaching on the Sunday morning and Sunday night services here on the 30th. Or what is it, 31st? 31st, yeah. He'll be preaching for us, Brother Richard Douglas. So there will be services here and all, and we will be taking care of everything to handle all of that part, okay? All right. Exodus 12, and we'll just read the verses we've been reading from let's go to verse 12 through 13. Let's back up. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Now this is the offering, the sacrifice, the things that we're making are the Passover. All right? Now coming to the Passover time, okay. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. All right. Now watch. That was the Passover. Like I'm telling you, Moses is instructing the children of Israel. Okay. So he's telling them now what you've been doing with offering this lamb. I want you to know now it's going to be a Passover. So he's instituting the Passover, the eating of the meal, the doing of the things, which is the same thing that we do in our type of, our antitype of the communion that we take. All right, now, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we've put four messages in this series, and this makes number 5 on the token, so I want to to make sure that you the new ones, you're right on the end of a series, so it it may be a little hard to understand what we're trying to say, but, you know, that's the best we can do. We'll back up as much as we can. And also now we're going to enter a topic maybe this afternoon that we have one more topic that was requested to speak on, and that will be marriage and divorce. So if we start on that this afternoon, the Lord willing, we'll see about it. It's just according to how it goes. All right. But if you have any thought of any part of the message you'd like us to speak on, please turn it in to me, and I'll be glad to try to cover it. I'm not a know-it-all, but I know somebody that knows it all. You remember my definition of a know-it-all is not a smart-aleck person. It's not a person that knows everything. It's a person that knows where to find the answer. See? 'Cause that way I don't have to have it all in my brain. But I know where to get it at. See? So I can go and get it, and I'll get the answer and bring it back, see? And that'll be fine. So if you have any thoughts, any comments, of anything you'd like to say, well, Brother Dale, speak on this. Speak on, we've covered tithing. We covered many different thoughts, you know, and then we went on to the point. And this is kind of a injection of what the Lord spoke to me back a few months ago about the token to try to bring it on down. Now, we know that the token in the Old Testament was only a type and a shadow. All right? You know, the offering of the blood. Okay? That was a type and a shadow, or, you know, forerunning. All right? Even when it says about the token of Rahab, that when she would put the scarlet cloth into the window, because the ones who had searched out the land, you know, she let them down through the window, and the cord that she let them down with, then that was said to be a token. The rainbow is a covenant with people, but it was a token that he would not destroy the world again, you know, with water. See, and all of those are token, which is a sign of a price paid. Now, not a price to be paid, but a price already paid. All right. See, then it shows that in it. And then we started covering the token of where it was speaking in Moses, here, that it'll be a token unto you. Now, as I've tried to get you to see, then this was not the first offering of a lamb. See? The first offering of a lamb was Almighty God himself in the garden when he sacrificed those animals for the skins to go on onto Adam and Eve after the sin. And then Cain and Abel were offering, and Abel offered a lamb sacrifice, and Noah offered a lamb sacrifice and a clean beast and the thing. This was not the first time. But when it was first instituted by Moses to be called the Passover, or the time, you know, of being for to eat the lamb and the things, you know, and what to do with it, and he called it a Passover. All right? Because he said, I'll pass over you, in other words. Then he told them what to do with the blood. He said, this blood shall be a token unto you. All right? Now, to be a token, a sign, that God would go past that house and the death angel would not stop and try to destroy anybody in that home, and see, and knowing that that would be over the doorpost, and he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. All right. Now, in that, then, we know that those things were a type, see, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, when that Holy Ghost fell, now I'm quoting Brother Branham, so hold on to your thoughts, you know, of it, and we'll go through it, cover the four token messages and read them all and everything, or go back through the services we've been in. We've read a lot of things. That token, that was not the first time the animal sacrifice was made, but it was the first time they were told what to do with it. All right, and it was in the evening time. It was in the evening time, see, that Moses says, now you're going to eat the lamb tonight and all, but apply the blood. The evening time, see. All right, then, you know, you can read where the prophet said the token never come into existence till the evening time. And everybody wants to make that something that he's not saying. You got to first make it exactly what he is saying. And I didn't bring it back to read to you, but you can read yourself. He said the token didn't come into existence till the evening time. He's talking about the sacrificial lamb and the blood being applied. He's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because he emphatically states over and over in the same message that the token was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that come on the day of Pentecost. All right? The token, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it came on the day of Pentecost. Ever born again believer that has ever been born again from the day of Pentecost until now has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now the new birth, all right, that's the token. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, we got a quote there where it didn't come into existence till the evening time. Show me the quote where he's talking about the Holy Ghost didn't come until the evening time. Now, he didn't say that. That's what you're making him say. He's talking about the token of the blood being applied was in the evening time. But all right, now let's cover that little point where it makes sure you don't miss it. The token does come into existence in the evening time. The baptism of the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. That was the evening time of mankind. That was ending the Old Testament and bringing in the new birth, right? Salvation to the Gentiles, which would be the token of the new birth. So it would come into existence in the evening time. Where did the messenger always come on the scene? Didn't the messenger to each age come on the scene at the end of the age? Not the end of the age he's living in, the end of the previous age. Alright, so Paul came at the end of Pentecost as it was dwindling down and brought his message to the church at Ephesus. So every age, the token comes into existence at the evening time. That was what I thought. I better recover that a little bit to make sure that people wouldn't think I'm just trying to correct Brother Branham. I'm not. But you go read the message and show me where he said the token didn't come into existence, that the Holy Ghost didn't come into existence until the evening time. Show it to me. Of course, there's a lot of doctrines around the message that claim that, but I'm putting it out there with a challenge. Come show me where he said it. Now, if you can't show me where he said it, then don't come. Because it'd just be you're fussing and arguing. But come, let's sit down and talk about it. The token he's talking about coming in existence in the evening time, what is that? That was the lamb sacrifice. When they said, when Moses told them what to do with the blood. Brother Branham didn't bring the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. Brother Branham can't give you a new birth. We don't believe in junk. We believe in the truth of the Word of God all the way through. We don't follow, we're the only group in the world really that don't follow a man. We follow the man Christ Jesus. The rest of them follow some individual person. But we follow the Holy Ghost that used them and used all the other people for to bring the truth of what they brought. I believe in what John Wesley taught of the truth. I believe in what Martin Luther taught of the truth. I believe in what that is. See? Thank God for it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? Now that's the way you following the truth. Outside of that, you're following what some man said. But see, the token, see, you've heard people quote it. You've heard preachers in the pulpit quote, the token didn't come into existence till the evening time. You didn't even go read to see what he said. Well, I just believe. Well, believe what? You believe a lie. Come and show me. Bring the book. I read it to you right out of the book. Well, what are you talking about? He's talking about the lamb token. Because he's already told you the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a token. All right. But now listen. As I said, each church age had a messenger. Each church age had a baptism of the Holy Ghost, a new birth, right? And each messenger came at the end of the age to bring his message. So then the token for the end of the age was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? What is the message of the hour? Books and tapes? Now, come on. You say, this is the Bible. You can burn that. But you can't burn God's Word. Because God's Word has been made alive in somebody's heart. Right? That's why you can't burn it. You can burn all the Bibles in the world. You still haven't burnt the Bible. Because the Bible is the living people. The message of the hour is not quotes and books and tapes and things. It is the revealed Word. There now the token and the message becomes one. There's where that even in the days of Martin Luther, the new birth of that age was what? The revealed word of that age. Right?
Amen.
And see, being the revealed word of that age, it was the token then.
Right. Amen. That's
what it is. See, so when the prophet come to bring the message, the Holy Ghost had already come back in its fullness on Azusa Street, 464 seal book. You read it.
Come on.
He came back in his fullness, but the messenger come at the end of the age to bring the message. So get it right. The Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost has been an ever born again believer. That is the token.
Right.
You say, yeah, but what's he talking about when he said it didn't come into existence? What? The message didn't come into existence. I know that. The message didn't come into existence till the evening time.
Right.
But so is it with every church age.
Right.
Every church age, the message come at the evening time for that dwindling away of the previous time or age. All right. Then when it did, that Holy Ghost came to give light to the Word.
Right. Amen.
The revealed Word is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The alive Word is the Holy Ghost.
I believe that. Right.
All right. But see, you can be anointed by the Holy Ghost and not have the revealed Word.
Exactly right.
That's what people don't understand.
That's right.
You can be anointed on your spirit, shout, speak in tongues, cry, do all kind of things, and not even be saved. None whatsoever.
That's right.
All right. But see, the revealed Word is what I'm talking about.
Amen.
When I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the revealed Word.
Right,
I'm talking about the Word that's been made alive in you.
Right.
That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't want just the anointing.
That's right.
The anointing will just give you problems. But the birth is what I want.
Amen.
The birth of the Word in my soul.
That's
what I'm talking about, the new birth then. See, that way the message of the hour and the token is the same. That's fine. But it was the same for every age. Because every age had an end time. Every age had a token. Every age had a message. But see, when you got it just books and tapes in your hand, that's not the message. I can take those books and tapes and show you things that word that looks like Brother Branham is totally contrary. But I can take the Bible and show you where it looks like that the one statement is contrary to the other statement. Right? Because letters on a page will mess you up. But we need the revelation, which is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can only quicken the word that you have planted in your field.
Amen.
So then faith must come by hearing and hearing by the Word.
Right.
And how can we hear unless a preacher comes and preaches unto it?
Right. Hallelujah.
Yeah. All right, see, then put that together. Now you've got the token and the message of the hour and the things in the correct order. You got it in the correct position when you understand that the Word being revealed to you, that is, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Right. See, in other words, quickened. But what was wrong with the people until Jesus Christ died and gave the life? You know, what was wrong with them? They could only have whatever they could receive and an anointing for that time. They could do great wonders and great things would happen because God would come down. Moses could part the Red Sea, all of these different things. Sure, that could take place. Why? Because God used a person. But see, we're not in the days like that when God is just using an individual here and yonder and writing in His Word.
Right.
We're in the day when the Holy Ghost has been poured out
right.
to where that when you receive that new birth, that is the very life of the person.
Right.
That's why an animal life won't work. See, in the Old Testament it wouldn't work. The animal has a life. It's alive.
Right.
But it don't have a soul. To come back upon the individual.
Right.
See? Alright? See? If that life don't come back on me and you, the word's not revealed.
Right.
I don't care how much you or me, either one, can quote.
That's exactly right.
Unless that word is revealed, it's not alive.
Amen.
It's still a dead letter.
Right.
Paul said the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Amen.
See, then what we need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What we need is the one to quicken the word.
Right.
See, then that Holy Ghost comes in, quickens what you have planted within you.
Right.
All right. Then that Holy Ghost is the only interpreter of the word.
Right.
So it's the only one that can quicken the rest of the word to you.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street.
Come on.
Your prophet said it, 464 of their steel book. Look at it. He said, no messenger of the age. He said, because the Holy Ghost came himself. In his fullness in the baptism.
Right.
See, to bring it back like it was with the 3,000 in the book of Acts.
Right.
Not like the 120 in the upper room, but the 3,000 in the book of Acts.
Right.
That had just heard a sermon or two.
Right.
But see, that token then, see, it's in each age.
Right.
This message, I finished up there, you know, last Wednesday talking about this message is a sign. It's the fulfillment of the last half of Isaiah 61. The first half is to bring redemption. The last half is to bring judgment. But now listen, see, we just put all of it down here. We want to bring everything over to where we are. Why don't you look at it like the prophet did in the seal book? Where he said when a church age messenger brought his message, the people received that message. He said a plague struck. Right? A judgment struck because they rejected the word. He said, go back there and look where the Holy Ghost fell and right around the turn of the century, 1906. And he said, look where this, what is the word, influenza, is that the word? The great thing that killed a lot of people and just a plague that struck the world. And he said, look what happened. He said, look how your insane asylums all filled up. Right after the Holy Ghost came. He said, because that's always that way. See, a message does two things. Just like the waters of Noah. It saved Noah and his family. The water did. He rode up over the judgment back down.
Right.
But the same water destroyed the rest of the world.
Right.
All right. Destroyed the people.
Right.
Why? Because they rejected it. You reject the word, then it's automatic judgment. What could be greater than what God has done? That He's given us the Holy Ghost, the new birth, and He's given us the message. For that Holy Ghost can quicken that message. What would be greater than that? Oh, I want to get in glory. No, I told you, I'm not trying to go to glory. I'm trying my best to bring glory here. Because here's where I'm at. See, we used to talk about one of these days we'll get up to heaven. One of these days we're going to heaven. No, I wanted heaven right here. Because my Bible says you're going to be changed a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
That's got to be here. That's not up in heaven.
Amen.
See, then get the message correctly and God will vindicate it.
Right.
Well, you're just too technical. Well, why don't you go back and start just being rebaptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Come on, that's what my brother-in-law told me one time. He said, well, that's all right. Maybe you're right about it. I'll just start baptizing. I said, okay, from now on you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you baptized all these years, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I can't do that.
Right.
See, why the church wouldn't accept it?
That's right.
See, that's what I'm saying. If it's not to be technical, why don't you go kiss the Pope's toe? He's a good brother. Right? Isn't it about time to be technical?
Right.
To the point? Precise?
Amen.
I thought that was what was messed us all up.
Right.
I thought it was just one word that threw us out in the garden.
Right.
I didn't know it was a whole sentence. I thought it was just one word. Said, you shall not.
Right.
But you see, people don't want to believe the truth. They want to go on with their own doctrine, their own ideas, instead of believing the truth. The token in each church age came at the evening time. The new birth of that age came at the evening time. It's always been the evening time. So the message of the hour come in the evening time. All right? But see, the Holy Ghost has got to quicken that message. If not, you're just passing out tracts.
That's right. Amen.
What did Brother Branham tell them girls and boys over there? One place there overseas, you know, he said, how long have you been over here? And they told him about 3 years or something like that. How many converts have you had? He said, not a one. He said, you need to go home. And he told the girls, he said, you need to go wash the dishes for your mom or something to that degree. Go back home. He went out there and won one altar call, 25,000 outstanding miracles in one altar call. That was proven. They got the pictures of truckloads of crutches and little all kind of things that they were hauling down the street. And tribes that had been fighting each other the days before were arm in arm.
Hallelujah.
Saying it all they believe.
Amen.
At one service, 30,000 came to Jesus Christ in one service. But you see, what do you think them girls and boys went home? They went home and told their pastor, boy, he lambasted Brother Branham about it. What do you mean? They've been over there doing the best they could do. Well, that's what he's telling them. What they was doing wasn't good enough. They need to go home. In other words, wait for God to call you. If God sends you, he's honor bound to it. Now, if he don't send me, then I just go on my own. But see, he's honor bound if he sends me somewhere. Because I didn't send myself, he sends me. But see, church, you understand what I'm trying to see? Get you to see? So you say the token is the message of the hour. Well, it was the message of every age and every hour. Every age had a message, every age had a token. We're on the final stage of all things. The end of all things, the Bible said, has come upon us. There's not another sign to come. There's not another token to be made. This message is the end time sign. Why? To turn it down is judgment. And that's what the world has done. You look out there and see what's going on. I mean, our own government, and that's none of my business, government thing, I'm just saying it, would let our economy be totally busted when we've got the oil in the ground in Alaska and everything, and yet they're letting the economy just keep going and going and gas going up. Oh, it's good now. It's come down almost a quarter. Oh, that's great. We got almost 25 cent discount. I remember when gas was a whole lot less than 25 cents. You know? But you see, and they made fun of Hitler with his propaganda, you know, because one day he'd tell the people everything was okay, and the next day it was bad. He didn't know which way to go. Do you know now what to do? One day we got all the oil we need, the next day we don't have none. And they just keep raising the prices. There's one thing about it, folks, we can't help the condition we live in, but we don't have to be dumb. We're destroying our own selves, and that's what the Bible says. God didn't, you know, now come on. God didn't destroy the world in the days of Noah. They destroyed their self. Oh, the Bible says God destroyed the world. No, they destroyed it with their own stupidity. And bringing about nuclear destructions and things. See? Listen, folks. It's about time to get down to being technical, I think. I believe the message of the hour is the token. Yes, when you talk about it being the revealed Word and Christ living in you. There is no way it can be a revealed Word and lay on a page or in a book or in a track or on a tape. It's when Christ is living in you. There is the token. There is the one that he said, when I see that token, I'll pass over you.
Amen.
All right. But see, Moses was told to apply the token.
Right.
Not to get something new. They already had the blood.
Amen.
They'd already been killing the animals.
Right.
They just didn't know what to do with the blood. You know, they take it and pour it out or something. But Moses told them, take that blood now and apply it over your doorpost. All the way over. Make sure you get it where everybody can see it. See, like the prophet said, here stands even a priest over there stirring that blood where they've killed those animals. Oh, this is God's provided way. He said if it wasn't over his house, that he's lost. And he died that night. Come on, this is a serious thing. We don't play church. Christianity is a serious matter. It's not just haphazardly, oh boy, look how the world is going so wonderful. It's going just, oh, it's just, oh, you know. Yeah. Yeah, look how it's going. Has it changed anything? No, no, it didn't change anything. But you see, the new birth is a sign in you. Do you realize that? That was what I was trying to drive at. See, if you have the new birth and you have this message and it's being revealed to you, you're a sign. Come on, sisters, when you walk the streets, what does everybody do? Us men, it don't make much difference what we look like because we're just out of it anyway. But what about you sisters walking down the street? I mean, we go down to Brother Gary's dad and his mother at their funeral, and they finally wanted to know who the Mennonites were. Well, we didn't talk about being Mennonites. But they wanted to know who are Amish or which one they used. They wanted to know which one we were. And I think the preacher finally told some of them himself. He said, no, they just don't believe in wearing those things and don't believe in cutting their hair and things. He was one that we were standing talking, you know, and the lady said something about the turned around collar, and I said, well, he said something about, his, you know, the collar, and I said, well, I got a collar on. I just don't turn mine backwards. He said, yeah, and you never will. He just looked at me and grinned, you know. I said, I probably never will. But I said, you got yours on backwards? I said, I just got mine on this way. You know, I was trying to be nice to him. And he was being nice to me. But they wanted to know why. Because the sisters walking around are simply in the clothing style you have on. Probably some of you are wearing what you have on today. Well, do we look like a bunch of Mennonites? No. Do we look like some kind of an Amish clan? No, it's because of the way you do. That you're a sign. That's why the Bible speaks there in the book of Revelations about those hideous animals. See, we think it's some kind of a great big monster. Well, it raised up out of the ocean and here it comes. Some knock glass, ever how you say that word, you know, raise up and come out of there, you know, walking across the earth, you know, looking like. Or some kind of a monkey's looking outfit that comes from outer space. Ain't any monkeys coming from outer space. It's the monkeys that left this space and went there. All right. So it's crazy because people, you know, but people have seen them and talked to them. You know, it's kind of funny they could talk to them. I can't go to China and talk to those people. I can't go to Mexico and talk to those people. I don't know what they're saying. Can't even go to Kenya and do it. I don't know what they're saying. But it's funny that all of these illegal aliens that comes in from outer space can speak our language. I guess they went to school. It's all silly, folks. I'm not trying to be comical. I'm trying to tell you the truth. But you see, we're here in the end time. There is an end time token. Yes, it's the message of the hour. But the message of the hour I'm talking about is the end time token. It's not books and tapes. It's alive in the people that's walking upon the earth. It's alive upon the earth. That type of token is what I'm talking about. Because that's what come on the day of Pentecost, was the very life of Almighty God. Go back and read those messages, especially go to the one in Dallas and listen over and over to the prophet talking about the token and how the life of the individual has to come back into you. Because the life of the animal couldn't do that. But it has to come back in you and live. Because that's why Paul said it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right. But you see what I'm talking about? You make statements sometimes and people will just pick you apart about it and won't go on and listen to what you're saying. That's why I believe, like I said at the end of the message there Wednesday, the dynamics, yes, I believe that's a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I gave you the quotes for the prophet. There's going to be a baptism of the Holy Ghost strike us one day until it'll fill every fiber of our being and take us in the rapture. I agree. But you know what that's going to be because of? Because the revealed word is on the earth. But you see, we're looking for something like we're walking along and then it's going to come down. If God chooses those things to happen, that's fine. Well, why can't you believe that it's the word being revealed to you now? Why can't you believe the dynamics is the quickening power of the Holy Ghost to reveal the word to you? Because if not, you're just looking somewhere else. One of these days it's going to take place. Well, that's what all churches teach. Mohammed even teaches that one of these days that guy's going to get up and ride the white horse. One of these days something's going to take place. I'm not talking about one of these days. Now, you can believe what I'm talking about or what you want to. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost living now inside of your heart to quicken the word to you. See, don't fail and look for something to come when you're stumbling over what's already there. Well, I just don't see it right. Well, that's maybe you ought to say it that way. Don't say nobody don't have it. Say, I don't have it. When you start labeling it to something that nobody don't have, be careful. The dynamics is the Holy Ghost that quickens the life to you. The day you got the new birth, that was the dynamics. If it wasn't, you didn't get the new birth. The dynamics quickens the mechanics. And then each time that the word is revealed to you, there's your dynamics. You say, well, I just don't see it like I don't see it like I want to see it either. But if I go any other way than the way I approach it to what I'm talking about, I surely can't see it. Because I'm just waiting on something to happen, a bus to pull up outside, you know. Something happening. I'm not waiting on that. That's one thing I've never been doing. I've never been waiting. I'm looking at what God's doing. He said, well, 40 years? Yes, 40 years. 40 years, I see what he's been doing. But it never stops with me. The word don't get dull with me. I just wait on the next time for him to speak. And sometimes it's a long time in between as he's talking to me. I agree with you on that. But still he does come down and speak. And our problem is we don't believe that God is with us. That's our trouble. We say it with our mouth. But then with our same mouth, we turn around and talk about what we don't have. Well, somewhere that's got to catch up and get together. If you'd asked Brother Branham right before he got killed in a car wreck, was he where he wanted to be? He said no. I want to see more. I want to see a refilling. I want to see a dynamics come. I want to see all kind of, but go back in his life and see what God had already done. And I told you 25,000 people healed in one altar call. You think he wouldn't be saying that? And believing it was there? But what I love is when you get in the seal book and it doesn't go grounded in this word. It is grounded in the word, what he said. When he got in the seal book, he said, I've seen God do great things. Miracles had happened all over the world through a man's word. But he said, never have I worked in this realm before like this. Through the opening of the word. Now he wasn't talking about just preaching the word. And neither am I. I'm talking about the revealed word. I'm talking about believe God is with you now. Because if you don't believe he's with you now, you're going to have to somewhere holler and scream for him to get here. And that's not too good. It might be hard to call him on the scene. But if we just keep believing he's here, then he can just keep manifesting himself greater and greater. Because that's what it is. The headstone that we talk about is the revealed word, right? The two tables of stone that went into the temple, the prophet said, that was the capping stones. Then the Shekinah glory fell. What to do? Quicken that. Well, I thought we believed that the seals broke in 63 to the prophet. Well, don't you think the Shekinah glory was with him? What could be greater than what he was? See? But this token to the end time is a sign. I just wanted to review just a little. The token to the end time is a sign. A sign that a price is paid. Not going to be paid. That's what we're all looking forward. We're looking for something to happen, you know, to let us know we're in the right place or we're going right or something's going on. Why can't you believe what God says? If I could just see these great things take place, I'd believe God is with us. That's not Bible. The Bible says you believe God is with you and then you'll see the thing. These signs shall follow them that believe. Believe first, signs follow. So why don't we start confessing God here? Because that's what I've been doing ever since I saw this message. When I saw that back there in the 70s and began trying to preach it, that's all I've tried to preach to you. Of a living God to get you to see that same God. And not to question Him about things.
I realized the funeral at the little boy that got killed the other day in the car wreck, I thought Bobby done a wonderful job saying it like this. He said, first off, we ask why. And he said, second off, we ask how. And he said, those are the two questions you should never ask. Because what good does it know how? Well, I just want to know. No, you're just a busybody. A gossiper. That's what makes people want to know how. It's because they want to go call on the phone and run their mouth and tell what they heard about it. Right? But then why? Ours is not to question why. You don't question God about what He does. That's where you get into trouble. You accept it as being whatever He has it in His mind and foreordained to be that way because of some reason. And then search out ourselves to see, well, what does that apply to me? What do I need to get serious about, you know? Concerned. Because it all comes back to the Word. See, I know what people think about me. They think I'm just a dried up, nut of a word person, preacher. Well, I've preached it. If I can't make it manifest, I don't want to get in the way of anybody that can. I want to encourage those that can make it manifest to move on. Amen. If anything, you will have to agree to one thing. I preached it.
Amen.
Amen. Right. See, now you got to agree to that point. So if I preached it, you make it manifest. Because that's all I've ever wanted to do. That's why I said, sure, we put clamps on around here because of this too much talking. But I said, you give me your testimony. And we'll put it on here. You know, Brother Ray back there, he's been having troubles. He went Thursday to have the colonoscopy, or how you pronounce them big old words, to be done to look and see where that, if there's anything wrong. You know what he got a test from them? Nothing wrong.
Amen.
Right? What do we want? Do you know? I know I get in trouble. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it anyway. You know that most people don't want to be well. I've told you that 40 years ago.
Most people don't want to be well because they ain't got nothing to talk about. Right? Now you'll go outside when the service is over and everybody be, how you doing? Well, I ain't doing too good. I got a doctor's appointment this week. That's all right. But instead of talking about the glory of God and the healing virtue of Almighty God, you talk about what the doctor says. And to take away most people that way, they ain't got no life. Right? Well, how you doing? Well, I'm doing wonderful. They click the phone on you. They don't want to talk to me on the phone. Everybody says, you don't want to talk to people on the phone. You don't talk long. You know why? Because on the other end, when I say something about glory of God, how great everything is, it just gets quiet. Well, I just hang up. Yeah. Why? Because, what's it? Well, how you doing? Well, it's just, I'm hurting here and I'm hurting there. Like that lady said one time, went to the doctor, and the doctor come out and told her she had so-and-so. She said, thank you, doctor. Thank you. You're the first doctor that ever found anything wrong with me. She's hunting doctors to tell her what's wrong with her. I don't give a hoot what the doctor says about what's wrong with me. I've looked in his face in life when he said he'd take my knees off, my kneecaps. I looked at him in life and said, you won't take mine off. I still got him, and he's dead. But you know what? If I said, okay. Now come out to beg. And I went in, you know. You know that brother, I get tickled at Brother Quinn. You know how he springs around, and Brother Ernie, you know. But what if I'd walked in that doctor, you know, doing like that, and then the doctor told me, now come out. Oh, my knees is killing me. What the doctor? He'd go take my kneecaps off, go make me an appointment. I went in happy. Why don't I come back out happy? I went in one day, had my eyesight had got so bad I couldn't shoot a gun or anything like that with iron sights. I had to go to scopes and things. Walked in the doctor's office and it was blurred out there. I couldn't see at all. The doctor said, what are you doing with them glasses? I said, well, the other doctor gave them to me. He said, well, you don't need them. And I looked around, I could see. I come out of the office. I said, well, honey, he told me my... Now I come out saying, I don't need these glasses no more. Thank God for healing me. For 8 years I didn't wear them to even read. The only thing I use them now is to read, and I can still read this Bible right here without them. See, why can't we take the message and then let it be a sign? Yes. A sign of a glorified bunch of people. Right. We can talk about glorification here. Right. We can talk about the great things of God while we're here upon the earth. Right. Not wait till we get to heaven to talk about it. Right. See? And I know I get in trouble. See, I'm 68 years old. I take blood pressure medicine, yeah. I take a sinus pill, yeah. A little thing for reflux, yeah. But the doctor says you got a clean bill of health. Now he told me the other day, sent back a word. You got problems. Want to see you in November. So what? I'm going to the doctor in November, see what he says. Well, ain't you worried about it? No. No. Worry brings on what he's talking about. When they told me I had a 50-50 chance of having prostate cancer, I looked at the man in life and I said, thank you, doc, I'm going fishing. I'll see you when I get back. Even my wife was saying, call back down there and find out what he said. I said, I don't care what he's saying. We'll find out when I get home. I'm going to enjoy fishing. And I went down on the bank thinking, oh, God, I'm having problems now. No trouble. Oh, Lord, I've got it now. No, I was happy. If I'd have walked back in there and he says, you got cancer, I'd have just looked at him and grinned and said, well, good, I'm glad you told me that. I enjoyed my fishing trip. But you see, church, this message is supposed to be alive. That's the sign I'm looking for, is an alive group of people, not a dead bunch of people that are sitting around looking at Brother
Where's Brother Dick? Okay. Right. And didn't this happen in the Presbyterian when they would go down and they'd pray for the people? Somebody did. He told me about it. And then they'd sit and look at them. And they'd pray for them, and they'd sit and look at them. Or somewhere. Or a group they was visiting with. Just sit, look at them. Well, God can't do anything with unbelief like that. I like what that lady said when Brother Moat and them prayed for her the first time I seen a miracle. Brother Moat said, "You, a few days from now, you get to feeling better, you get up out of that bed." And said, "You start moving around." She'd already set up in the bed, and a heavy set woman. She'd already set up in the bed and sat there for 30, 45 minutes, sitting with her legs straight out. I ain't nowhere in the world I could do that now. And she was sitting there like that. And Brother Moat said, you get feeling better. Said, "You get up." She said, "You get out of this room, I'm getting up." And that's what happened. But see, what if she'd laid back? Well, 2 or 3 days from now, I'll get up. 2 or 3 days, she'd have been dead or something. But you see, believe what God has already given us. And thank God for the things that He's done, the signs He's worked among us, the miracles He's done. Thank God for it. Look for more. You see, I look for the dead to come walking through those walls. But it won't have to be something. Dead, come through the wall. Dead, come through the wall. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on through the walls. They'll walk through there and we won't even know they're here until they're through the walls and standing with us. But you see, we're trying to make things happen instead of believing that God is with us. Come on, brother. Instead of believing that God is with us, believing the token has been in existence since the day of Pentecost, we're trying to figure out some kind of a great big mechanical thing to make a great message out of it. What greater could it be than that? What greater could it be, brothers and sisters, than the life of Jesus Christ living in your soul, giving you eternal life, bringing you and I to a place, a position, to where we can walk off this earth. I like the way Brother Moat used to say it. He said, when you're walking up a ladder, the next step is just another step. You don't get on a step and then you got to run and get palmed up to get to the next one. No, you just walk up the ladder. The next step is just another step. And then you just step right into eternity. I've always believed that Enoch was just walking up that pyramid, you know it. Before they encased it, you could have walked up it because it was stones and different things. But it wouldn't matter if it was encased. He went up through the middle. I don't care what happened. But I always believed that he just stepped off and just went up in the air. And after a while, he looked back and he said, well, I think I'll just keep walking. Because every time he put his foot down, he didn't see what he's putting it on. He believed it by faith and he just walked right on out of the world. That's what happened to Enoch in the Bible. Well, what's going to happen to you and me? Oh, we got to pump it up. We got to, like I was telling my wife yesterday, or day before yesterday, a certain brother, he used to always try to get close to me at a meeting in Rutherford. And I almost started to help him in a missionary work. And I heard him talking in a group. And somebody said, well, you know, you've got to get the people to going. You've got to get them moving, you know. And the man said, yeah. I said, we send down people that ain't sick to be prayed for. He said, where other people will move. I said, so long, buddy. So long, buddy. You don't have to take no dove and put it in a box back there and turn it loose in here to a dove to fly around for us to know the Holy Ghost is here. I believe God, don't you? And I'm not worried about the rest of it. Let's stand. 87 in the red book. Anybody have a need? The token. In the way down.
believe it.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe it. We don't have to pray, but we pray.
Amen.
Because God said, lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
It's all finished anyway. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing that the price is already paid, the product is already delivered, and we believe you. We love you. Thank you, Father, for the testimony of our brother. And now in Jesus' name, we count it as he said. It's finished. Amen. Free from wrath, and my soul satisfied. Fill my way. He knows what we have need of. Father, you know what our brother has need of at work and all. So we just ask you to make everything work out for the good. We believe you. We thank you. You know the needs that we have. Thank you, Father, for being with our brother and everything to be all right and all the tests to be. Lord, no problem. We believe you and we thank you. Father, now just make manifest this that our brother is asking for. Just believe it. Anybody else? Heaven need us. Let me go all the while with the song and the smile. Fill my way every day with love. Precious Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with you love him. Fill my way every day with love. Just shake hands with one another as you're leaving. Sing that to one another. Duh.